We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the Score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going. I'm a loyal Score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Grand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Hall.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Biggs A!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it's all happy and good, and always a joy to talk to you. Always a joy to see the new quarterback. It just somehow makes you happy to know that the position is in good hands or different hands, or maybe there's been a handoff. I don't know. It seemed like a celebratory video, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he looked like a happy guy. He's already decked out his little guy on his Twitter profile in a Bears number 9 jersey. It looks pretty legit. It's got the George Stanley Hallis initials on the sleeve. No, it's sharp. So one would imagine that he's made arrangements with Tyler Bray to get jersey number 9 for when he finally arrives in Chicago.
Well, I don't think Tyler Bray's the only Bears quarterback who's in for a little bit of a shock, Brad. I mean, Mitch Trubisky, how do you think he viewed how the Bears virtually welcomed Nick Foles into the fold? Or was it he had to expect this? Because if he's coming in as, you know, as a backup, you don't typically see that kind of reception for backups.
Yeah, with Staley the Bear there for the family photo.
Exactly, yeah.
I would imagine that was club provided. UPS that out to him along with the contract to sign. I don't know. How's Mitch going to view it? Hopefully he views it he's going to have to step up. Hopefully he views this as the pressure really being ramped up on his immediate future with the Chicago Bears, because I think that's what the reality is here. And I'm convinced Foles will be the guy to begin the season. I don't know if they'll shape it as some type of competition. But Foles is the guy that the coaching staff has got a comfort level with, okay? That's coaches that have been here, like Matt Nagy. That is coaches that are new here, like John DeFilippo, the quarterback's coach, like Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator. And those are two guys that haven't worked with Trubisky. Their only exposure to Mitch to this point has probably been watching a lot of uneven game film from the 2019 season. So I think Foles emerges as the guy here, and hopefully Mitch is able to take something from this experience and help himself out eventually down the road.
He was signing a contract, as you mentioned. Do we know the details exactly of that deal? And David said, you know, it's a trade. Why is he signing a contract? Well, because they're changing the terms of what that deal was, right?
Yeah, I think what they were doing there is primarily reducing the salary cap hit for the 2020 season for this year and taking that number and moving it down a little bit and therefore, you know, bumping it up in 2021. But I think that was a measure designed to just create a little more flexibility for the team for this current season. I don't believe that they changed any of the key numbers here in the contract. You know, the guarantee is going to be the same. That's a little bit north of $20 million in terms of a guarantee that they're giving him. And so you're just looking to possibly work down the cap number, which I believe without an adjustment was going to be about $15.6 million for the Bears this season. So push that down a little bit, bump it up for 2021, and away you go.
Brad, you make an interesting point about the coaches who have worked with Nick Foles before, but not necessarily Trubisky. And I just wonder, obviously, Mitch is the incumbent. Mitch is the one who has been in Matt Nagy's offense for the last two seasons. But if someone were to ask you today on the phone, say, okay, if you're going to say, who knows this offense better? Who is better versed in everything that Matt Nagy's offense is? Who would you say?
Which quarterback?
Yeah.
Well, I think Nagy's probably tweaked some of the things. He's been here for a while, and he certainly hasn't worked with Foles for a while. So I would say Mitch, but I think that's a gap that Foles could close very quickly. And I believe it's the execution of that offense that's really key here. I don't think this has been a situation where this hasn't been a situation where the Bears have stumbled offensively because Mitch doesn't know the playbook. I think it's the execution of those plays. We've talked about it where, you know, post-snap, he's not making the proper decision. So I think, you know, if you're on the whiteboard or whatever, he might not be the Rhodes Scholar on the whiteboard in this offense, but he's certainly got a deep enough background to go out there where you feel like he can do it. It's just the processing of things just before the snap and just after the snap that I think that's where you're going to see a difference with Foles, and I think that's where the difference is for the coaches in terms of that comfort level.
You know, it's funny because I think when I think of the competition, I just ask myself that day where the Bears played Philadelphia, would you rather have had Foles or Mitch under center on your team if you could have swapped them at that point? And I know that the Bears ended up obviously with the double doink, and that's how they lost that playoff game. But, you know, I'm not sure that I wouldn't want to make that switch anyway, and I'm not sure that I didn't watch that video with the idea that they've made a switch.
Can you imagine saying that before that game, too? You know what I mean? Can you imagine saying before that game kicked off, hey, you know, you're better off with the number 9 guy on the Eagles than you are with the number 10 guy on the Bears? At that point in their careers where Foles had the success in year 2 with Chip Kelly and then been an absolute journeyman and played well in a couple of late regular season games for them, and obviously had the Super Bowl run the year before. But can you still saying that with Mitch so young?
Yep.
With there's so much excitement about the Bears, even though the offense was just sort of coming along in that 2018 season, it's hard to go back and say that you would have chosen differently right now.
Brad, I've been meaning to say this. Nice job tracking down Allen Robinson over the weekend last Saturday. Good use of your time, and he's obviously doing a lot of good things for the community with his foundation, and that was the purpose of the phone call. But he also mentioned and discussed the future of his contract extension and where things stand. Would you describe him as being optimistic that that will get done? And now that they have Foles in the fold and that trade is now official, does that free up more time or resources or whatever to try to get a deal done?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I was impressed that Robinson pivoted so quickly with this foundation, which generally is looking for to provide, you know, enhanced educational opportunities for inner city youth and through a variety of different programs, some reading things. And the one thing Allen's always done is he's really been hands on. He's not the guy that shows up with the, you know, inflated check and poses for photos. He's hands on with some of this stuff. So to quickly pivot from that to, hey, let's find a way to get meals to these people who are missing them at school, I thought was impressive. But to the contract, yeah, I think he's optimistic, but I don't think, you know, it's obsessing him right now. He's the kind of guy that is pretty good about devoting his energies to things that are completely within his control. And obviously, he's only controlling part of that situation with a contract. He's got veteran representation with Roosevelt Barnes, who was partners with the late Eugene Parker. I mean, these are guys who aren't going to panic, aren't struggling to fall asleep at night because the deal's hanging in the balance. These are guys who are very patient. They want to get the right deal done. They've done terrific work over the years for Larry Fitzgerald. You know, when they did some different things at a time when Larry first started getting additional money after his rookie contract, the time when a lot of people were swinging for the longest possible deal, the most years possible, because the more years you get, the more guaranteed money or signing bonus, a bigger signing bonus you get. They kind of went the other direction, and they went for the shorter deals, which did one thing for Larry, and that's got him back to the negotiating table sooner to get another big bite at the apple as the prices went up around the league. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out for Allen. He's been through a major injury already. So the thought of, you know, losing income because he's got a serious injury, does that scare him into wanting to do a deal before the season starts, whenever that is? He's 26 right now. Does he look for a short-term deal to get back to the table before he's 30? You know, I don't know. I think there's a ton of options. I think he's open to a lot of different possibilities, and certainly we've seen how valuable he is to the Bears. The Bears understand how valuable he is to their offense because he's been the only really consistent playmaker that they've had the past two seasons. And we've talked about it before. He's a good guy for them to have in that locker room. You know, Allen Robinson isn't the, you know, palms up guy when the quarterback misses him downfield for the second time in three possessions. On the field, he's not going to show up the guy. He's not going to make complaints when things are bumpy and rocky in the offense. And as we talked about to start with, he's been a really shining example of what some of the finer players in the NFL are in terms of being community leaders.
I got to tell you, if I was him, I'd be sleeping soundly. If I was his representatives, he has them over the barrel. I mean,
yep.
Yeah.
He is sitting in the driver's seat in this deal like no one you ever see.
The one thing the Bears have in their corner is the franchise tag, and that's what Robinson thought he might wind up with after his final year in Jacksonville, which was cut short in September by the ACL. It was because he was coming off the 1,400-yard season, or more than that, in year three. Going into year four, keep in mind there, he didn't do a new deal after he had the huge season with Jacksonville. A lot of times you'll see the guy on a rookie contract goes big in year three, and the team scrambles to get him paid. Allen was comfortable going into the final year, playing it out. He does the ACL. Jacksonville made the decision not to place the franchise tag on him, so he's able to get out into free agency and come to the Bears. The Bears will have that tag available if they can't get a new deal done by the start of free agency next March. So that's kind of in the team's corner. But, yeah, I agree that he's got an awful lot of leverage because of how he's performed and what else they have around him.
Big Z, thank you, buddy. Be safe. Great talking to you.
Good stuff, Brad.
Stay safe, gentlemen.
You too.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs. He of the Chicago Tribune, and always enjoy our Biggs time. We've got a lot left for you. We're going to head to Italy in a little bit. We're going to talk to Brock Olivo, a former Bears special teams coordinator, who is assistant special teams coordinator, who is holed up in Rome. Can you imagine,
yeah.
David?
Wow.
My brother is living in Paris. I've told you about that a little bit. It's scary having people overseas in difficult times. And we'll talk to Brock in a little bit. I want to get back to the conversation, though, that we were having, David. And you asked a really good question about the future of the Bulls and really how it applies to the future of all organizations in the midst of a pandemic. It's an interesting little debate to have. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The thing that gives me like peace of mind as far as employment wise is that Adam Silver, the commissioner, is not going to do anything to put anybody in harm's way, as desperately as from a business standpoint they all want to play again. I think Adam Silver is the right guy.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. 670 The Score when you get the Jeff Van Gundy seal of approval. I'm sure that Adam Silver breathing a little easier this morning. Come on. That was him in Portland. He was on 740. That's when he was doing his Sky is Falling routine.
What a relief.
But it's true that that Adam Silver is a great man to have in charge. And it's also true that continuity seems to be very highly valued right now, David, in all sports and in all sports leagues. And certainly we talk about the Bears and the quarterback, and he knows the system, and you got new coaches, and is it okay? Yes, it is, because the coach is back and he's the play caller. I just wonder how this affects the Bulls. And you asked a really good question of KC. And I've been thinking about it since we talked about it. Is now not the time, even if it's a time of disappointment, is now not the time to be talking about change, to be talking about bringing someone else in, or must we move forward?
Well, I think it's a really hard question to answer, Molly, because I don't think that we know or can fully grasp how what we're going through at this moment, individually, collectively, you know, in our industry, in every industry. And I just think that the effect on people will be different. And then so you wonder how profound of an impact this will have on the Bulls organization, on the NBA, and individuals within that organization. I can tell you, I've communicated with some of them. I know that they're looking at this the way many people are looking at this, and that is from a very humanistic standpoint. You know, it's not necessarily about the bottom line of winning, of losing, of profits and things that people, you know, fans aren't going through the gates and you're missing out on this or you're missing out on that. There's a very real concern, as there has to be, health, safety, welfare, physical health, mental health, attitude, all these things. So when you couple that with what we ask is, okay, we all agree that the Bull season stunk before we stopped playing basketball.
Right.
Stunk out loud. But and I think we all agreed that a coaching change would have to be imminent. You just couldn't go forward with Jim Boylan as your coach, and there had to be changes to the front office and new voices and new eyes and all those things. Whenever they resume chasing that championship and trying to kind of embracing that idea of change, what does that mean? Where will you be philosophically as an organization? Will it just be business as usual? Will we go back to being somewhat, vicious in the way that some people have critiqued and criticized Jim Boylan? I don't know those answers. So I don't know that I can answer the question that I asked of KC myself, because I think that so much is unpredictable, not only in what's going to happen, but how we're going to feel about what should happen.
I coach by faith.
Yeah. And, you know, here's the problem. I think that it's easy to sit here and say now that we're looking at it from a humanistic viewpoint, that everybody is kind of taking it. How long will that last? I don't mean will we become jerks to each other again, because that seems always imminent. I mean, how long before the price of pay in poker and the fact that the bankroll has been drained, how long before that comes into your decision-making as well? I mean, there's going to be a period of financial recovery that is going to take place, because there has been a period of financial loss. And I don't mean just for the NBA, but for the people that go to the games, for the people that own season tickets. I mean, businesses are going to be affected by this. It doesn't seem to take too big a leap to imagine that while we may come back playing behind closed doors, they also may come back playing to half-empty stadiums if people were allowed in.
It's an economic earthquake, and we're going to be feeling the aftershocks for years probably. And I think that's what's difficult to project. And I didn't make the comparison lightly. I know there are differences between college and pro basketball. But when you look at the way the Power Five schools responded to their off season and this inactivity without a single coaching change. And you can't tell me that even though it's, amateur athletics, that there aren't programs out there, college basketball programs, that are driven by the bottom line. And so that's why you make coaching changes, so you get into the NCAA tournament, et cetera, et cetera. But it's also why you don't make coaching changes. And so you don't want to be paying two guys, you know, millions of dollars. The Bulls right. don't want to be paying more than they have to, whether it's an executive or a coach. And as you say, you can't predict that they're going to be a full arena. It's more difficult to envision that now than it was even before they were just bad. Now they're just bad, and people don't want to afford to go to the games because they can't afford to go to the games. The disposable income has evaporated.
I had an interesting moment yesterday where I went to the store, David. You know, had to do a little bit of a shop, and there is one store relatively near me where I can walk to it and I can get a little exercise in, and also I can pick up a few key items. And it's a very small place, and they only allow a couple people in the store at once. And frankly, I've not seen, you know, I've never had to stand outside it. I kind of go off hours and whatever. So I go into this place, and I'm standing there, and I look over, and there's a guy in front of me in line, the only other guy in the store, and he has these kind of weird-looking shorts on, and he's got kind of yellow socks with dress shoes almost, and I'm looking at this guy like, oh, my God, that's Paul Agassi. So I ran into Paul, and he turns around. I'm like, Paul! He turns around. Now, again, this is just me, but I'm going into this place, so I'm wearing a medical mask that I got the last time I was in for treatment. I've been reusing it, whatever. Medical mask, I've got a ski mask, and then I have a second ski mask over my first ski mask. So he turns around, and I think I scared the heck out of everyone. Every time I walk in, I think they think for a moment I might rob the place, but this is just
my way of combating
it. Yeah. I totally looked the part. And, you know, I, to be honest with you, I probably looked the part anyway. But with the ski masks on, it will scare you. So basically, I've got like an eye slit. And he like recognized, you know, he's like, oh, my God. Like, it was hysterical. And I mean, I said to him, like, what are you doing? Like, are you taking no precautions at all? And he's kind of like shrugs at me. I mean, the guy's in shorts. It was like 43 degrees out. What are you going to do?
Well, I think that it's okay. You know, did you maintain your 6 feet distance from Agassi?
We did.
Did he go in for the hug and you rebuff him?
Not at all. No, he maintained his distance from me. I mean, look, I mean, everyone's running from me, so that's a good thing. But it was funny because we did carry on a conversation, and we were kind of yelling across the store at each other, which was kind of amusing. Maybe not to the people working there, but it was fun. It was fun to see him, even if I and chat with him ever so briefly, even if I couldn't, you know how I get. I like to give a guy a slap on the back and, you know, a firm handshake.
But, well, you've got to do what you got to do, and if you need to bundle up and look like you're walking in to rob the place, then that's what you got to do. You know,
How are you operating? Because I was very surprised. I had to go to the Jewel basically to pick up some things. You know, someone's got to go do this stuff, and I was
sure.
I mean, they're doing a great job. They had a partition up. They got separation. But I'm like running through the store with all my masks on, and I couldn't believe how many people are wearing no mask, nothing at all, just kind of.
Well, not everybody
around.
Has a mask, Mully. I mean, not everybody has a supply in their closet. Let me get my gloves and let me get my protective surgical mask here.
Well, I mean, it's not one of the N95 masks or whatever the hell they are. This is just when I went to the doctor the last time. I told you I this is a ridiculous story to tell too. I like fell out of bed trying to turn off my cell phone so as not to wake up my wife. And I cut my shin on the bed frame. Like 2 days later, it starts like turning beet red. So I went into the whatever it's called, the Minute Clinic place, and I was given a mask to cover my face. So that's my medical mask. the rest of it is just is my ski mask.
Yeah. But, well, I haven't been wearing a mask when I go out, when I have to go out, and everybody has to go out at some point to get supplies. I had a situation yesterday which was somewhat of a, you know, when you are reliant upon your phone to do what we're doing right now. And I think, you know, so to set people a scene, I'm sitting here and we're on an app that allows us to broadcast and do this show. So, but that app is on my phone. So you have to have your phone in working condition. Would you agree on that? That's pretty much understood. When your phone shatters and you have a shattered screen, you pretty much can't do anything. So you are frozen in time. And so I am scrambling to figure out what to do about a new phone under these conditions. And I found a store that was open and was practicing safe social distancing. And I went to that store and thankfully got everything taken care of. But I was too surprised, also surprised at how many people were out there and how many people were still kind of, you know, there was, you know, we have traffic reports because there's still cars on the road. There's still people out there. And I walked into the phone store and we took care of business at a safe distance. And she had the gloves on and I had the precautions taken. And there was only one other person in that particular store. And that person walked out and they called the police because they felt like he was casing the joint because they thought he was going to rob it later. So I got out of there as fast as I could.
Oh my God. That's unbelievable.
So I walked out with a new phone and the police followed me and I felt a little bit paranoid. I have to tell you, like, why are they watching me? What do they know? I felt like, why are they following me?
Oh, that's hysterical.
Anyway, I got my new phone, and if obviously, or else I wouldn't be able to. You wouldn't be able to hear me.
Did you have to get it reprogrammed, or did you just pick up everything that was on it already?
Well, everything that was in my old phone was transferred into this one. So, the apps and everything.
Shane had to do some tomfoolery with my phone so that this app worked. I don't know what he did. There was some coding involved, right?
Well, he can hear every conversation that you have from here on out. But other than that, he's bored out of his mind. He made it so we can connect. Yeah. it all worked out. We tested it last night, and you can hear it today. So, yeah, all's well that ends well.
All right, we're going to get out to Italy next. We're going to go to Rome. We're going to talk to Brock Olivo. He, of course, is the former Bears special teams assistant coach. And he is in lockdown in Rome. We'll find out what life is like with him, and we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. We are delighted to welcome in Brock Olivo. He joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Brock, of course, the former Bears assistant special teams coach, and he is now in Italy and obviously going through a difficult time in Rome. Brock, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brock.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Mike and Dave. I'm doing well. Thanks, Louis.
So help us out. I mean, I have seen the videos. I have seen the people singing on the balcony. I know Brad Biggs wrote a great story about you and what you've been going through, and you're one of the people with the guitar out on the balcony. God bless you. Tell us how you landed there and what's going on with your quarantined life.
Yeah, so the decision to come to Italy was kind of two part. I have a daughter and a son who live here, and my girlfriend is here as well. And then also, I wanted to stay active coaching in the game of football. And you guys mentioned I was with the Bears here up until this last season here, and so I didn't get a job in the States, and so in order to stay active in the game, I said, well, I'm going to go back to Italy where my coaching career actually began. And that's how I ended up here. So it was a two-part decision on my part. And sure enough, about a month into it, this coronavirus pandemic now ensued. So crazy times, surreal in a word, fellas. That's how I can explain it. But I'll hand the mic back to you guys. Yeah.
So Brock, yeah, when you get through your routine every day, and I guess the trick is maybe to have a routine. How would you describe your way of life now, and things you can do, things you can't do,
right?
And how you get basic necessities.
Right. Well, first of all, fellas, it's crazy because it's almost I'm getting used to this, and that's scary. If you'd have told me 2 months ago that I'd have had to confront this and get used to this, I'd have said, no way, you're crazy. Because we're so used to being on the move, and especially in the Western world, right? We're so used to enjoying everyday freedoms and liberties, and we can go as we please and move about, and there are no limitations. And so now you find yourself in this surreal small closed world where you can leave the house once a week only to go to grocery shop or to the pharmacy, in other words, or an emergency, God forbid. And that's it. And by the way, when you leave the house, you can't socialize with anybody. You have to wear a mask, gloves. There's this sort of this underlying paranoia within everybody, and you can see it and feel it, and it's very un-Western like. It's very un-Italian like as well. If you guys have ever been to Italy, you know it's a very social culture, and Rome is buzzing. And another thing, I mean, right now it's such a paradox because you have the spring in the southern Mediterranean is in full bloom right now. And at the same time, there's this macabre situation going on around us where people are dying and there's fear and fear-mongering and all that with, you know, it's in the media and whatnot. So it's just, I just keep coming back to the word surreal. You'd have never imagined in your wildest dreams anything like this happening. That's how I would explain it. But you mentioned it, structuring your day. That to me is what keeps you sane. I mean, I'm fortunate because I have a ton of hobbies and interests, and so, my gosh, I mean, I structure my, the coach in me structures my day to where I'm eating breakfast at this time, I'm studying sommelier at this time, I'm playing guitar at this time, I'm working out at this time. So I think you have to do that. Otherwise, you'll go crazy because you'll be sitting around thinking about the situation you're in, and that's when it weighs upon you. So that would be my advice to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's fascinating, Brock, because, of course, you know, you were a professional athlete. You played in the NFL. You have coached. You've been throughout the league, and, you know, you take that discipline and that understanding it, and you apply to what you're doing. For a guy like me, I'm doing the sommelier thing, but I'm not actually taking a class, if you know what I'm saying. I'm just trying to crawl into a bottle. No, I'm kidding. But I do think you're absolutely spot on. You said that you're running the stairs in your building, right? So you can't go out, but finding a way to work out. Yeah.
Right. Thank God I live in an 8-story building, right? Made like, you know, marble and huge stone. And so it's like, it's solid, man. And, you know, you can really get after it on the stairs. And, you know, I get the dumbbells and the kettlebells, and you can bang them around. And no, it's, you know, you find a way to make it work. I really, honestly, guys, I after the first 2 days, I was good, man. I was good because you just have to accept the fact. You have to just accept the fact, dig your heels in, and say, okay, this is how it is. And I'm not going to sit here and be depressed and blah, blah, blah. No, my goal is to come out of this quarantine, obviously healthy, but a richer person culturally. That's the way I want to come out of this quarantine. So I'm taking advantage of time that I've never, ever had. So that's where I'm seated.
We're talking with former Bears assistant coach Brock Olivo, former NFL player as well. And Brock, so what you just alluded to, you're a high-energy guy, you're a high achiever, you've always been goal-oriented, results-driven. In terms of, you know, you've had to adjust and adapt to survive right now, But in terms of changing your perspective, how do you think this will do that, if it will? I mean, will this experience, whatever you're going through, and I think people want to attach this to a larger, broader picture, like what we're going through, do you anticipate it changing you? Do you anticipate it changing, you know, society in general?
Yeah, so that's a very, very good question. I think there's a myriad of different ways to answer that, depending on where you are in the world and what kind of person you are. Me personally, yeah, it will change my perspective, because I kind of have the fortune of living between two worlds, you know, the Italian culture and our awesome culture back in the States. And so, you know, here in Italy, everyone's very gregarious and touchy feelsy. You know, it's the whole Mediterranean deal, right? And Southern Mediterranean deal. And so, we're back in the States. You know, we kind of practice social distancing compared to the Italians in general. You know, we're but you know, we don't do the whole, you know, the whole kiss on the cheek greeting. You know, that thing. It's a handshake in the States, and it's maybe a bro hug. You know, we get a bro hug in, you know, the guys do, but right. So, there's talk of that, you know, that whole, the whole way that human beings in general greet each other, there's talk of that changing. But I can't see that happening here I just can't see it happening here in Italy. I can't see people changing something so, deeply rooted in their culture that much. But where I think it'll change perspective is after spending time in quarantine, I think people are gonna once they step back out into normal life, you know, quote unquote, they're gonna have a much deeper appreciation of our, you know, daily liberties and freedoms and of time and the usage of time. And I mean, I haven't turned on the TV one time. I haven't had a TV since I left my parents' home when I was 18 years old. But so how to make best, yeah, the use of your time, so that you can cultivate every possible, right, possibility, occasion, in your life. I mean, if you're living this quarantine the way you should, I think it should change your perspective when you come out of it. For me, yeah, it's just going to be an added layer of appreciation to actually what we have here in front of us in the Western world, and that is we have a very, very cush life, and we have everything at our fingertips that we want. You just gotta go grab it, man. That's the bottom line. So, yeah, that I'm sorry about the long-winded answer, but I think there's a very profound answer to that, depending on who you are and where you are in the world.
You know, it's interesting because I remember reading right when this was starting that Shakespeare apparently was in quarantine for, I don't know if it was the Black Plague or the smallpox, when he wrote King Lear and Macbeth, and there were like a lot of bursts of creativity that have come from this period of time. I don't know that we're looking forward to something like that, but I would imagine if you're a writer, if you're a movie maker, if you're somebody that's in that sort of field, and maybe even if you're not, maybe if you're just a normal human, this is a rare opportunity to kind of reassess things, to, you know, do a little introspection, trying to avoid the depression that comes with that, but maybe using it in a positive fashion, like you're talking about. You're studying a new language. You're you know, working on the sommelier degree. I mean, it's extraordinary the things that one can get done if indeed you apply yourself to this time.
Amen, brother. I mean, that you hit the nail on the head. It's introspect. It's self-reflection. It's you know, you're going to really find out a lot about who you are, because you're going to be looking in the mirror a lot more because you're, my gosh, it's right there and you can't leave. You're going to figure out how healthy your relationships are with your family or your loved ones or whoever you're spending the quarantine with. And So, yeah, think about the artists and the musicians and the writers. And just like you said, a normal human being like myself. I mean, my gosh, it's the desire to take it one step further as a guitar player, or as a whatever tango dancer, whatever it is you do. So it is a great opportunity to self-reflect and figure out exactly who you are. And it's moments like this where sometimes people discover sides of themselves that they never knew. So, yeah, you hit the nail on the head.
Brock, God bless you. Thanks a ton for joining us, and be safe. And we're thinking of you, so take care of yourself, buddy.
Thanks, Brock. All the best.
Thanks, Mike and Dave. You too, man. You too, guys. Take care.
That's Brock Olivo, and obviously a very thoughtful and bright guy. Ran for Congress at one point, David. It's a pity he isn't in Congress at this point. Very interesting.
And he's
person,
also,
right?
Yeah, learning to play the guitar as well as studying wine, as you are. I was surprised to learn. I'm very impressed that you're digging into this wine study as much as you are. That's dedication for you right there, Mully.
That's a bad joke, like all of them. All right, we've got a real special guest also for you next. We're going to bring in one of God's great men, Ron Coomer, will join us next, and we'll talk about one of the wonderful things we have waiting for you here on The Score. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.